1 Kings chapter 13. Biblical exposition. Overview of the entire content from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the spirit. First, summary of the entire content. 1 Kings chapter 13 records the event in which the man of God who came from Judah proclaimed judgment against the altar of Bethel, and the altar was split apart as the sign of that prophecy. He refused Jeroboam's invitation, according to the command of God. But on his way back, he was deceived by the lie of the old prophet, disobeyed the command, and was killed by a lion. Even after seeing these events, Jeroboam did not abandon his evil way, and in the end, this became the cause by which his house would be destroyed. 1. The man of God arrives at Bethel. Verse 1. An unnamed man of God from Judah received the word of God and went to Bethel in northern Israel. At that time, Jeroboam was burning incense himself beside the altar of Bethel that he had made. Not only had he appointed ordinary people who were not Levites as priests, but the king himself was also carrying out the role of a priest. The altar of Bethel was the center of the religious system Jeroboam had made to keep the people of northern Israel from going up to Jerusalem. He set up golden calves and changed the dates of the feasts and the qualifications of the priests as he pleased. The man of God did not fear Jeroboam's kingship, and he arrived at Bethel to deliver the word of God. 2. He proclaims the judgment concerning Josiah. Verse 2. The man of God prophesied toward the altar of Bethel that a man named Josiah would be born to the house of David. Josiah was the one who would one day judge on that very altar the priests of the high places who burned incense on it, and who would burn men's bones on it. This was a word showing that the altar Jeroboam had made was not a holy place, but an idolatrous altar that would be judged by God. At the time this prophecy was proclaimed, it was long before Josiah was born. Yet about 300 years later, Josiah, king of Judah, came to Bethel, tore down the high places, and burned men's bones on the altar. And this word was fulfilled exactly as spoken, by revealing in advance even the name of the king who would be born. God showed clearly that the altar of Bethel and Jeroboam's religious system would certainly be judged. 3. He presents the splitting of the altar as a sign. Verse 3. The man of God presented a sign that would prove that the word he proclaimed had come from God. He said that the altar of Bethel would be split apart and the ashes on it would be poured out. The splitting of the altar was an event showing that God had not accepted the sacrificial system Jeroboam had made. Jeroboam thought that if he offered sacrifices on the altar he had set up, God would receive them, but God judged that altar. The pouring out of the ashes shows that the offerings presented there were not acknowledged as holy sacrifices, but were cast away as unclean. 4. Jeroboam's hand withers, and the altar is split apart. Verses 4 to 5. When Jeroboam heard the man of God proclaiming judgment toward the altar, he stretched out his hand and commanded that he be arrested. But the king's hand that was stretched out toward the man of God immediately withered, so that he could not pull it back again. At the same time, the altar was split apart, and the ashes were poured out, just as the man of God had proclaimed. Jeroboam tried to seize the man of God with royal power, but he could not even move his own hand as he wished. This shows that the word of God is greater than the authority of a king. The signs that happened at the same time to the king's hand and to the altar clearly proved that the word proclaimed through the man of God was true. 5. The man of God prays for Jeroboam. Verse 6. Jeroboam, whose hand had withered, asked the man of God to entreat God for him so that his hand might be restored. When the man of God prayed for Jeroboam, the king's hand was restored as before. The man of God prayed for the king, who had tried to seize and kill him. Jeroboam experienced both judgment and grace. Through the withering of his hand, he saw the power of God. And through the restoration of his hand, he also experienced the mercy of God. However, experiencing a sign and having a physical problem solved did not mean that his heart had turned to God. He wanted the restoration of his hand, but he did not abandon the golden calves and the sacrificial system he had made. 6. He refuses the king's meal and reward. Verses 7 through 10. Jeroboam, whose hand had been restored, invited the man of God to come to his house, refresh himself, and eat. He also said he would give him a reward. But the man of God answered that even if the king were to give him half his house, he would not go in with him, and that he would neither eat bread nor drink water in Bethel. God had commanded him not to eat food or drink water in Bethel, and not to return by the way he had come. This carried the meaning that he was to have no relationship whatsoever with Jeroboam's false sacrificial system. The man of God was not shaken by the king's power and wealth. He refused Jeroboam's invitation and returned to Judah by another way. 7. The old prophet pursues the man of God. Verses 11 through 14. In Bethel there lived an old prophet. His sons told their father all that the man of God had done in Bethel and the words he had spoken to Jeroboam. The old prophet asked which way the man of God had gone, then had a donkey saddled and pursued him. He found the man of God sitting under an oak and confirmed whether he was the man of God who came from Judah. The text does not explain why the old prophet did not directly rebuke the golden calf worship of Bethel, nor why he tried to deceive the man of God. But he played the dangerous role of causing the man of God to change the command he had received. 8. The man of God refuses the first invitation. Verses 15 through 17. The old prophet urged the man of God to return with him to his house and eat bread. At first, the man of God clearly refused the invitation. He explained again that God had commanded him not to eat bread or drink water in Bethel, and not to return by the way he had come. He knew exactly the word of God he had received. Just as he had refused Jeroboam's invitation, he also rightly refused the old prophet's first invitation. The problem was not that he did not know God's command, but that afterward, when another man claimed to have received a new word from God, he trusted that word more than the word he had first received. 9. The old prophet deceives him with a lie. Verses 18 through 19. The old prophet said that he too was a prophet like him, and claimed that an angel had delivered the word of God, telling him to bring the man of God back to his house and have him eat bread and drink water. But that was a lie. God had not changed the command he had given to the man of God. The man of God believed the office of the old prophet and his claim of a new revelation more than the clear word he himself had received directly. In the end, he returned with him to Bethel, ate bread, and drank water. He had refused Jeroboam's kingship and wealth, but he was deceived by the religious words of a man who called himself a fellow prophet. A lie that used the name of God worked more dangerously than an open threat. 10. Judgment is proclaimed for the disobedience. Verses 20 through 22. While the two men were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had lied. He proclaimed toward the man of God that because he had disobeyed God's command and eaten bread and drunk water in the forbidden place, he would not enter the tomb of his fathers. The fact that God spoke through the old prophet did not make his earlier lie legitimate. God used him at the necessary moment as an instrument to deliver the word of judgment. The man of God had been deceived by another, but he himself knew the command he had received directly. God held accountable not only the old prophet who had lied, but also the man of God who had abandoned his word. The word of God does not change according to a person's office, age, or authority. Whoever delivers a new word, we must discern whether it agrees with the word of God already given. 11. The man of God is killed by a lion, verses 23 through 25. After finishing the meal, the man of God set out on his way riding a donkey. But on the road he met a lion and was killed, and his corpse was thrown on the road. The lion killed the man of God, but did not eat his corpse, nor did it harm the donkey beside it. The donkey did not run away, but stood by the corpse, and the lion also kept its place. This scene, so different from the ordinary behavior of wild animals, was a sign showing that the death of the man of God was not an accident, but a judgment according to the word of God. People passing by saw the corpse lying on the road, and the lion and the donkey standing together beside it, and they reported it in the city of Bethel. 12. The old prophet buries the man of God. Verses 26 through 30. When the old prophet heard the news, he acknowledged that the man of God had been killed by the lion because he had disobeyed the word of the Lord. He rode his donkey to the place and brought back the corpse of the man of God. Even until then, the lion had not eaten the corpse and had not attacked the donkey. The old prophet brought the corpse to his own city, mourned bitterly, and buried him in his own tomb. He mourned for the man of God, calling him his brother. His act of deceiving the man of God was wrong, but after seeing his death, he acknowledged the judgment of God and buried the corpse with respect. 13. The old prophet desires to be buried with the man of God, verses 31 through 32. After the burial, the old prophet asked his sons to bury him when he died in the tomb where he had buried the man of God. He believed that the word the man of God had proclaimed against the altar of Bethel and against the high places in the cities of Samaria would certainly be fulfilled. When Josiah would one day tear down the altar of Bethel and take out the bones from the tombs and burn them on the altar, the tomb of the man of God would be protected. It seems that the old prophet wanted to escape that judgment by placing his own bones beside the bones of the man of God. Only after the death of the man of God whom he had deceived did the old prophet publicly acknowledge the certainty of the word the man of God had delivered. 14. Jeroboam continues to follow his evil way, verses 33 through 34. Jeroboam had experienced the sign of the altar splitting apart and of his own hand withering and being restored. And he would also have heard of the event in which the man of God was killed by a lion. Yet he did not depart from his evil way. He continued to appoint ordinary people who were not of the sons of Levi as priests of the high places. He made it so that anyone who wished could become a priest of the high places. The qualifications for the priesthood that God had ordained collapsed completely. And anyone willing to follow the king's religious system could become a priest. This thing became sin to the house of Jeroboam, and in the end, it became the cause by which his house was cut off and destroyed from the earth. He made the golden calves and the high places to protect his kingship. But that very thing brought down his dynasty. The core gospel meaning of 1 Kings, chapter 13. First, the word of God is stronger than the authority of a king. Jeroboam tried to seize the man of God, but his hand withered, and the altar was split apart, just as the word had been proclaimed. Second, the prophecy of God is certainly fulfilled even after a long time. The prophecy concerning Josiah was proclaimed about 300 years before he was born, but it was later fulfilled exactly as spoken. Third, experiencing signs is different from following God with the heart. Jeroboam experienced his hand withering and being restored, but he did not abandon the worship of the golden calves. Fourth, the word of God does not change because of wealth or power. The man of God did not accept Jeroboam's invitation, even though the king offered him half his house. Fifth, a religious lie is as dangerous as an open threat. The man of God did not yield to the king's threat, but he was deceived by a lie that used the name of a prophet and of an angel. Sixth, we must not unconditionally accept what another person says just because he speaks in the name of God. We must confirm whether what we hear agrees with the word of God already given. Seventh, partial obedience is not enough. The man of God faithfully delivered the word in Bethel and refused the king's invitation, but on his way back he broke the command and was judged. Eighth, a leader's wrongdoing affects the community and the next generation. Jeroboam maintained the high places and the false priesthood to protect his own kingship, and he led all of northern Israel into sin. Ninth, a religion made by human desire cannot protect that person in the end. Jeroboam changed the sacrificial system to protect his dynasty, but that very thing caused his house to be destroyed. To sum up in one sentence, 1 Kings chapter 13 records the event in which the man of God who came from Judah judged the idolatrous altar of Bethel and restored Jeroboam's hand, yet was deceived by the old prophet's lie, disobeyed God's command, and was killed by a lion. And the account of how Jeroboam, even after seeing such signs, continued the worship of the golden calves and led his own dynasty to destruction. Second, chapter 13, seen from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the spirit. 1 Kings chapter 13 records the event in which the man of God delivered the word, judging the false altar of Bethel, and then believed the old prophet's lie, disobeyed God's command, and came to die. This chapter shows that a faith system made by man and God's word of salvation cannot go together, and that we must not change the gospel of the water and the spirit according to human thoughts or religious authority, but must believe it to the end. 1. The altar of Bethel made by man receives judgment. Verses 1 through 3. Jeroboam feared that his kingship would be endangered if the people went up to the temple in Jerusalem, so he set up golden calves in Bethel and Dan. He changed the sacrifices, the feasts, and the priesthood that God had ordained to suit his own political purposes. The man of God came from Judah to Bethel and proclaimed judgment toward that altar. He did not speak his own thoughts, but cried out by the word of the Lord. This was a declaration that an altar made by man and the sacrifices offered on it could not be accepted before God. The gospel of the water and the spirit is likewise not a word that man can change to suit his own circumstances. The way for a sinner to be saved does not come from human religious zeal or good deeds. but lies in the salvation God has accomplished. 2. The word concerning Josiah and the sign of the altar, verses 2 through 5. The man of God prophesied that a king named Josiah would one day be born to the house of David and judge the false altar of Bethel. As the sign that this word would surely be fulfilled, he said that the altar would be split apart and the ashes on it would be poured out. The moment Jeroboam commanded that he be arrested, the king's hand withered so that he could not pull it back, and the altar was indeed split apart. The king's power could not stop the word of God, and the altar man had set up could not stand whole before the judgment of God. In the same way, the gospel of the water and the Spirit is higher than human authority. God's salvation was completed through the baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist, the blood of the cross, and his resurrection from death. Therefore, no human tradition or claim can change this order of salvation. 3. Jeroboam's hand was restored, but his heart did not change. Verses 4 through 6. When his hand withered, Jeroboam asked the man of God to entreat the favor of God so that his hand might be restored. When the man of God entreated God, the king's hand was restored as before. Jeroboam directly experienced the power of God, but he did not abandon the golden calves and the false altar he had made. He wanted the restoration of his hand, but he did not bow his heart to the word of God. Experiencing a miracle and having a real-life problem solved does not mean that one has been saved from sin. True salvation begins with knowing and believing through the Word how one's sins were passed on to Jesus and how the judgment of those sins was carried out. 4. The man of God refuses the king's hospitality. Verses 7 through 10. Jeroboam proposed that the man of God come to his house, eat food, and receive a reward. But the man of God refused the king's proposal, because God had commanded him not to eat bread or drink water in Bethel, and not to go back by the way he had come. He judged that he could not change God's command, even if the king gave him great wealth. The word of God was not something that could be exchanged for material things or power. The work of preaching the gospel must likewise never become a means of gaining human recognition or material profit. Those who believe in and preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit must not reduce or change the content of the gospel according to worldly conditions, but must deliver as it is the salvation God has accomplished. 5. The old prophet goes to find the man of God. Verses 11 through 17. The old prophet, who lived in Bethel, heard from his sons what the man of God had done, and went to find him. He met the man of God sitting under an oak, and urged him to come to his house and eat food. The man of God refused, explaining God's command, just as he had refused Jeroboam's proposal. Up to this point, he clearly remembered the word of God he had received directly. But the old prophet, unlike the king, approached with the religious authority of a prophet. To the man of God, the words of a fellow prophet may have sounded more trustworthy than the command of a king. What matters here is not the office or the seniority of the one speaking, but whether his words agree with the recorded word of God. 6. He is deceived by the old prophet's lie. Verses 18 through 19. The old prophet said that he too was a prophet, like the man of God, and claimed that an angel had commanded him to bring the man of God to his house and have him eat bread and drink water. But that was a lie. The man of God accepted the new word delivered by the old prophet over the command he had received directly from God, In the end, he returned to the old prophet's house, ate bread, and drank water. A claim that differs from the word of God must not be accepted. Even if it sounds religious and puts forward the authority of an angel. However high a person's office, experience, or reputation may be, what he delivers must be discerned by the word of Scripture. The word of salvation that God has already established is not altered by any new human claim. 7. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is the way of salvation God has established. In the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the sinner laid his hands on the head of the sacrificial offering to pass on his sins, and the offering took upon itself the sinner's sins, shed its blood, and died. Through the sacrifice, God showed the order of salvation in which the passing on of sin and its judgment were carried out. Jesus took all the sins of humankind upon his own body through the baptism he received from John. And bearing those sins, he shed his blood and died on the cross, and then rose again from death. The Holy Spirit testifies in the heart of everyone who believes that this salvation, accomplished by the water and the blood, is true. Whoever believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit does not make his own good deeds or religious zeal the ground of salvation. He believes that all his sins were passed on to Jesus through the baptism Jesus received from John, and that Jesus bore the judgment of those sins entirely on the cross. If one adds human thoughts to this word of salvation, or leaves out any part of it, it produces the same result as Jeroboam changing God's system to suit his own purposes. The gospel of the water and the Spirit must be believed and preached exactly as God has ordained it. 8. God's judgment is proclaimed at the table. Verses 20 through 22. While the man of God was eating in the old prophet's house, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet. He proclaimed that because the man of God had disobeyed the command, returned, eaten bread, and drunk water, his corpse would not enter the tomb of his fathers. The man of God at first overcame Jeroboam's threat and enticement, but he collapsed before a religious lie. The fact that he had obeyed well at first did not erase his later disobedience. In keeping the word of the gospel as well, not only the first faith, but continual discernment is needed. Whoever has believed in the gospel of the water and the Spirit must not be shaken by human words and religious trends, but must firmly keep in his heart the word of salvation Jesus has accomplished. 9. The man of God is killed by a lion, verses 23 through 28. After the man of God set out on his way, a lion met him and killed him. But the lion did not eat his corpse, nor did it harm the donkey. The extraordinary sight of the lion and the donkey standing together beside the corpse showed that this death was not an accident, but a judgment fulfilled according to the word of God. This event reveals that the one entrusted with the word of God bears the responsibility of keeping that word to the end. If he accepts false words, his spiritual discernment weakens, and he can bring great harm not only to himself, but also to those who learn the word from him. Whoever believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit must not compromise with another gospel and cloud his faith. He must believe as one, the baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist, the blood of the cross, and his resurrection from death, and keep this perfect salvation at the center. 10. The old prophet buries the man of God, verses 29 through 32. The old prophet brought back the corpse of the man of God, buried it in his own tomb, and mourned. He asked his sons to bury him when he died in the tomb where the man of God was buried. He acknowledged that the word the man of God had delivered against the altar of Bethel and the high places of Samaria would certainly be fulfilled. Though he had deceived the man of God, he could not make the word of God that the man of God had delivered into a lie. A person's wrongdoing cannot bring down the truthfulness of the word. Even if the one who delivered the word showed weakness, the word God has spoken is fulfilled just as it is. Therefore, the standard of faith must be not a person's conduct or reputation, but the unchanging word of God. 11. Jeroboam does not abandon his evil way to the end. Verses 33 through 34. Jeroboam saw the altar split apart, saw his own hand wither, and then be restored, and even heard the news that the man of God had died. Yet he did not turn from his evil way. He continued to appoint ordinary people as priests of the high places, appointing anyone who wished as priest, ignoring the qualifications and the order God had ordained, became the cause by which the house of Jeroboam was destroyed. He did not correct his rule through the word of God, but made his false religious system even firmer in order to protect his own kingship. Whoever serves souls must first believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, receive the washing of all his sins, and be born again. Learning, office, or people's recognition does not make one a spiritual worker. Only the person who believes in the baptism Jesus received from John, the blood of the cross, and his resurrection from death, and who is led by the Holy Spirit, can rightly preach the word of the gospel. 12. We must discern every spiritual claim by the written word. The words that brought down the man of God sounded very spiritual on the surface. The old prophet put forward his office as a prophet and the words of an angel. But his words were the exact opposite of the command God had given to the man of God. Today as well, not everything spoken in the name of God is the will of God. Even if there are special experiences, human authority, long tradition, and the support of many people, if it differs from the word of salvation recorded in Scripture, we must not follow it. The Holy Spirit does not lead anyone down a path different from the written word. The Holy Spirit makes those who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit know more clearly the salvation Jesus has accomplished, and leads them to follow the word of God rather than the words of men. The core gospel meaning of 1 Kings chapter 13. First, a way of salvation made by man is like the altar of Bethel. Jeroboam said he was serving God, yet he changed the altar, the priesthood, and the feasts as he pleased. Even if one speaks of God, if he departs from the word God has ordained, it cannot be true faith. Second, the gospel of the water and the Spirit cannot be changed for human convenience. Jesus took all the sins of humankind upon himself through the baptism he received from John, shed his blood, and died on the cross, and rose again from death. This is the perfect salvation God has accomplished. Third, having a physical problem solved is different from being saved from sin. Jeroboam received the grace of having his withered hand restored, but to the end he did not abandon the false altar. What a person needs most is not a temporary solution to his problems, but to believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit and be saved from all his sins. Fourth, no religious office or seniority can stand above the word. The man of God repelled the king's enticement, but fell before the old prophet's lie. Every spiritual claim must be discerned not by the position of the speaker, but by whether it agrees with the word of Scripture. Fifth, Whoever believes in and preaches the gospel must not compromise with false teachings. If one accepts another gospel, his spiritual discernment is clouded, and his life of serving the gospel also suffers great damage. We must keep the gospel of the water and the Spirit firmly in our hearts and preach it as it is. Sixth, the Word of God is certainly fulfilled regardless of human failure. The man of God died because of his disobedience, but the word he delivered against the altar of Bethel was fulfilled exactly in a later generation. Seventh, a spiritual worker must be a person who has first been born again through the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Office and knowledge alone cannot rightly deliver the word of life. Those whose sins have all been washed away by faith and who are led by the Holy Spirit must serve the salvation of God. Eighth, false faith does not stop with the individual, but destroys the family and the community. The false system Jeroboam made led all of northern Israel into idolatry and in the end destroyed his house. Therefore, it is important to hand down the gospel of the water and the Spirit to the next generation whole and unaltered. To sum up in one sentence, 1 Kings chapter 13 warns against the false altar made by man and against religious lies, and shows that we must believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit, completed through the baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist, the blood of the cross, and his resurrection from death, just as the word says, and keep it to the end.